Good morning.
Good morning.
Sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. Fred Rogers would say it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and as we will say, it's a good day to be in the church in the neighborhood. And so it is a good day indeed to be here and to worship together. As you'll know, there are no activities tonight, opportunities for families to be together and have some time to celebrate together. We will continue with the Ephesians study next week. Be focusing in on chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, verses 1 through 10. You will see a very unique, purposeful blessing in those 10 verses. The first three talk about God and his relationship to us and the importance of that relationship. The next three verses talk about the redemptive nature of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for each one of us. And then the last four verses focus on the culmination of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit. So you have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and then the Holy Spirit, all in those 10 verses. So as you're reading those this coming week in anticipation for next Sunday evening, please be focusing in on those verses. Also, I want to remind you there are several prayer concerns that we have, and you see each person on the list, and continue to remember each person. These are persons that we know that we all need prayer, and that we want to lift people up, because we are a group of people that lifts people up. That is one of the reasons why we are here, and it's one of the reasons why we worship. I also like to add to this our comment on Sherry Alloway. Susan Council informed me this week that she'd had a conversation with Sue Alloway. And so you want to remember Sherry Alloway. And some recent health issues that she has had. And also want to bring to your attention that Sue Alloway's cousin, Thomas, passed recently. So please do remember the family in your prayers. Also was brought to my attention a few minutes ago, Jean Farrell, Jean Stiles, as you may know her from Lowe's Grove. Her daughter, Nicole, had a stroke this week during some physical therapy following back surgery. And so she is asking for prayer. Jean requests prayer for Nicole Farrell. So many of you probably know Nicole, and Jean has worshiped with us on occasion over the past years here. So please remember them in your prayers. Are there any other prayer concerns or that persons would like to share? Okay, if not, Carol, if you will give us some time of quiet music, and then I will conclude with a prayer. And at the conclusion of the prayer, we have the Lord's Prayer in the bulletin. You'll notice at the bottom of the prayer concerns, and we will recite that together as a congregation. Lord, and we're reminded as we hear the voices of children and the feet that patter through the congregation that life goes on in the midst of our prayer concerns and in the midst of our sufferings and in the midst of everyday life. And so it reminds us of just how complex and integrated life is. But we know that all of it is in the palm of your hand. And so, dear Lord, we are specifically this morning, we lift up Anne and William, Aubrey, Juanita, Lori. Understand that the injections are not working as they would like them to. And Mike, and Sherry, and Sue, and also Nicole. We lift each one of them up to you and we ask special prayer for each one, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you answer our prayers. We also pray for our church. We pray for each member that is here today. And dear Lord, we are thankful for all the blessings that you have given us. And we show this by sharing and reciting together the prayer that you taught us. Therefore, we will pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Jesus Loves Me, hymn 652. We'll sing the first and last verses of 652. Let us stand and sing together.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Indeed, Jesus does love each one of us, and he is with us every day, every moment, and he will be with us throughout our entire life, from its beginning to its end and to its rebirth. Dear Lord, we bring our tithes and our offerings to you today, and we know that they will be used to further your kingdom. We are thankful for the opportunity to be able to do this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. going to switch things up a little bit. We'll do the Old Testament reading after the children's story, and I'm going to try something here. Okay, children, can y'all all get right here and sit down? Everybody come and have a seat. Yeah, we're going to try something here. Now, can y'all be very still? Yeah, I see the car. I see it. Here we go. You want to come here and sit down? Right here. All right. Can y'all come and sit down? All right. Right there. Yeah, come on up. Sit right down. Now, here. Now, I want y'all to wait for me. I got to go get something, okay? So, can y'all sit still right here till I get back? All right, let's try and see if it's right there. Y'all hear it? Is there something in there?
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear it? What is it? Is it a chicken? Oh, you hear anything else? That chicken is going, isn't he? Or she? Yeah. All right, let's see. Now, I got something in here. All right. Now, let's see what we got. Oh, wait a minute. What's this? Oh, what's that? Oh, yeah. That's an ark. Yeah, and look at here. What do you see? All these animals. Right. Well, I want to tell you a story. God told Noah to build a boat because there was going to be a lot of rain. And they wanted to make sure that people were taken care of and that animals were taken care of. And look at there. We got all these animals. So what animals do we have here? What's this? Can you tell me what this one is? A sheep, yeah. What's this one?
A
horse. A horse. What we got over here? Yeah. Over here, what we got?
A cow.
Here.
A doggy.
Uh-huh. What over here we got? And right here?
A cat.
And a?
Rooster.
Now, do you think any more people, you think there were any more animals that were in here?
No.
Do you think any more animals Noah was able to get in here?
No.
Yeah, he had a bunch of animals. Yeah, all kind of animals. Maybe some birds. Yeah, all those animals. Now, here's what I want you to remember. God took care of the people and the animals with the ark when all that water came. But God takes care of you, too. Takes care of each one of you, and he takes care of the animals. And guess what? Right, right. He takes care of us. And I want y'all to do me a favor. Y'all have some animals, and you have some pets, and you know some animals. Let's take care of, like a snake, too, and let's take care of them, okay? Can we do that? All right. Y'all did great this morning. Thank y'all very much. And if anybody wants to get on the ark, I got tickets, 5 for $1, wherever we're going. All right, guys. Great job. All right, remember, God loves you, and let's take care of the animals. Okay? Here we go. All right. Good job. Yeah. We'll take it right out here. Otherwise, they're going to be talking all through. I can tell you it was an interesting ride here this morning listening to this. Oh, yeah, it was out there. Yeah, I know. By the way, if y'all would turn to Job 42, we'll be right back. All right. Our sermon topic today is gospel perseverance, which we could also call relentless determination. And we were talking about, of course, Paul's journey to Caesar. But, you know, life throws us a lot of different curves, a lot of different experiences. And we want to make sure that we realize that God's in charge, God's in control, and that he will indeed watch over us and care for us. And so I want to begin this morning by going to an Old Testament
figure that we're quite familiar with, Job. We think a lot of times about the patience of Job. I'd like for you today to think about the perseverance of Job. Perseverance in spite of everything. Job was well off. He had been blessed. He had God's favor. He had many cattle, many livestock, children, and riches. But it was all taken away from him. And he even developed skin disease, boils all over him. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering. He even took pottery shards and was scraping it just to try to get some relief. He had some friends and some compatriots that suggested, why don't you just curse God and die? But for 41 chapters, Job perseveres. Relentless determination, knowing that God was going to take care of him no matter what, but it would be in God's time. Now, the book climaxes in 42, chapter 42. And as Job has gone through all of this, notice what happens. Chapter 42, verse 10 through 13. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and doubled his previous possessions. All his brothers, sisters, and former acquaintances came to him and dined with him in his house. They sympathized with him and comforted him concerning all the adversity the Lord had brought on him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold earring. So the Lord blessed the last part of Job's life even more than the first. If you're going through something or you've been through something, take this to heart. The Lord blessed the last part of Job's life more than the first. God has things in store for all of us. We may not understand them at the time. We may not know how to appreciate it. But God is in control. And never forget that God has his favor that he bestows upon us as his children. So he goes on. He owned 14,000 sheep and goats, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, all of this is to say, Job persevered. God's blessings continued and they multiplied. If you're going through something, you know somebody is going through something, pray for them. Pray about it. Persevere. Have relentless determination.
Our next congregational hymn will be 391. We are called to be God's people. We'll sing the first and last verses of 391. Let us stand and sing together.
Thank you.
sometimes the doing of God's will require relentless determination. And this is where we find Paul as we have been working and journeying with him these past months as we have worked through the book of Acts, first with Peter and then with Paul. And so we've come today to chapter 25, and I want to look at verses 6 through 12. Now, this starts with the governor, Festus. Festus was governor of the province of Syria, Judea, from 58 to 62 A.D., which is the latter part of Paul's life. And so he has just come into the picture, and he has one of his first orders of business is going to be to address what is happening with this controversy between the Jewish leaders and Paul, and Paul's appeal to Caesar. Now, I have to be honest. When you hear the term Festus, what comes to mind?
Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. I mean, you can't get over it. I mean, it's the only Festus I've ever heard of. And so, but here's another Festus that was a governor at the time. So let's join in chapter 25, verse 6 through 12. When he had spent no more than 8 or 10 days among them, this is Festus with the Jewish leaders, he went down to Caesarea. He had been in Jerusalem, so he's going back to Caesarea, which would be his headquarters. The next day, seated at the tribunal, he commanded Paul to be brought in. When he arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him and brought many serious charges that they were not able to prove. Then Paul made his defense. Neither against the Jewish law, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I sinned in any way. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, replied to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem to be tried before me there on these charges?" Now, there are two things here that you need to know. There was concern about going back to Jerusalem because it would be easy to get ambushed along the way, and Paul would have known that. But he also knew that the Jewish court had no charge that they could bring against him. And with him being a Roman citizen, he did have the right to appeal to Caesar. And so that's kind of some of the backdrop that's going on in this story here. And so Festus asked him, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem to be tried before me there on these charges?" Paul replied, "I am standing at Caesar's tribunal." And that's what that meant. There's no need to go back to Jerusalem. I'm appealing to the emperor. "Where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, even as you yourself know very well. If then I did anything wrong and am deserving of death, I am not trying to escape death." So Paul knows what's at stake. He knows how serious all this is. "But if there is nothing to what these men accuse me of, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then after Festus conferred with his council, he replied, You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go."
I can do all.
His strength is perfect. It always has been, and it always will be. We may not always realize it. We may not always feel it. We may not always understand it. But God is enough. His strength is enough. And we have it as we need it, one day at a time. Life can be very full. It can be very complicated. And you can have a lot going on. Job, there was a lot going on in his life. Paul, as we have seen, a lot going on in his life. When you think of Jesus' ministry, and as we start to prepare for Easter, a lot of challenges along the way. You had the temptation. You had followers, but then you had people that dropped off. You had religious leaders that sometimes there could be conflict with. Jesus perseveres. We think of the week of Easter and the Passion. And we think that that journey that starts in Bethlehem, which ends in Jerusalem, which starts in a manger but ends on a cross. But that's not the ending, because there's that empty tomb. And we know because of that that God's strength is perfect. Now, sometimes when we experience things that we don't understand, we can get frazzled. Anybody around here not been frazzled this week? I didn't say ever. I said just this week. I could have said today. Sometimes just getting to church can be frazzling. So ask anyone on this side of the room. It's a frazzling experience because you can never know what's going to happen. You can't control it. Things are always happening. And you know, when we get frazzled and we get perplexed, that relentless perseverance is so critical. Because sometimes when we're faced with something that's perplexing, or when we feel like Murphy has just set in and keeps coming in, one thing after another, it starts piling up. You can't turn around without something else coming up. And you're thinking, what in the world is going on? How are we going to deal with this? But you have options. One is what I would call the deer in the headlight look. What's that? You encounter, and you're there. What am I going to do? I just don't know what to do. So I do nothing. How much does that help? Not much. Now, sometimes you do need to stop and assess the situation. But that paralyzing look. Another response is, I'll try it. And I'll work with it, and I'll do my willpower. Now, how long is willpower going to last? 30 minutes? Maybe a day? Maybe a couple of days? Can I get an amen? Willpower is not enough. It takes more than willpower. It's not going to do it. Now, you do need God's power, but willpower will fail. God's power will not. And then you can dig in, and you can work through it. As Mark Batterson reminds us in The Circle Maker, circle your prayers. Circle your prayers and pray through the situation. That's what Job did. That's what Paul did, that relentless determination. He continued to proclaim the gospel no matter what. And his appeal to Caesar would take the gospel to Rome. And that was the intent. So, think about perseverance. Think about persons that have had to persevere at many different times in their life. I think of a few that you will know. Some of you may remember Johnny Erickson Tata, young woman that broke her neck, came paraplegic. Very hard situation. She persevered, learned how to draw by putting the pencil or the instrument in her mouth and became a great artist, has written books. Relentless determination. Think about Beth Moore. Oh, many of you have read a lot of her writings. She had her own issues with sexual abuse. Could have stopped her in her tracks, but it didn't. She kept writing. She kept going on. Priscilla Shire, many of you keep up with her and a lot of her work. Recently lost her mother, but she's also facing some health concerns of her own right now. She continues to write and continues to place her faith and trust in God. But I cite these examples to you because these are everyday life examples. No one is exempt from any of this. Relentless determination is critical. We saw it with Job, and we've seen it with Paul. We see it in this trial that the new governor is encountering. Paul does not give up. I haven't done anything wrong. I proclaim the gospel. And so I'm appealing to the highest earthly authorities, realizing that God is the one who is in control. Why could Paul be so sure? Remember that dream he had in the cell, in the jail cell, that he would be going to Jerusalem? I mean, not to Jerusalem, but to Rome. So Paul already knew. God had already let him know, this is where we're going. And he's simply being obedient to what God has asked him to do, just like Noah was obedient in building the ark. So I thought about it. What are some things that can help us with that relentless determination, that perseverance? What are some things that can get us through whatever life may be throwing at us right now? What are some practical things that can help us no matter what you're facing? Because here's one thing I do know. Each one of us in here today are facing something that is significant in our life. We don't have to go into the details of what it is, but we are all facing some significant issues because we're alive and life continues to go on. So I want to share with you a few things that might help. And I've taken some liberty to utilize a couple of ideas from Dr. David Jeremiah on this topic, as well as some other things that I know that we can put together. And I feel that God has led us to kind of put these together to give some help. So one of the first things that's very, very important is to understand the context in which something is taking place. Know what is happening. Acknowledge what is happening. Because what's so important in the acknowledging of it? To acknowledge it lets you know that it's real. You're admitting that it's real. How many of us have had to do that? I'll have to take one little break right now. Please forgive me. I remember one time between church, Sunday school and church, a bunch of us, and I was probably in middle school age. We would go outside and play. And we'd play tag and all this kind of stuff and fort and fighting and all this, that, and other. Well, we made the mistake of going out back outside the window of my mother's Sunday school class. Everything was fine until I got home. When I got home, it was a different story. Now, that's the context and the reality of things kind of coming in. But acknowledging what it is, and realizing that God has not abandoned you. You're not isolated. God is there. The second thing, what do we know is critical in the success of many of the 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics? What's one of the critical things in any 12-step program? You have to acknowledge it, and you take life, what? One day at a time. Lord, give me enough strength and enough perseverance to get from today to tomorrow. Now, I know every one of you has prayed that, because I know each one of you has faced it. Strength for the day. We don't get the strength all at once. We get it each day as part of that daily bread, so to speak. Strength for each day. Now, how many of you are familiar with that passage that Jesus shares with us about come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened? What does he ask us to do? Right. Pick up his yoke. Rest in him. Take up his load. You know, I've read that thing so many times, Peg, I shared this with you last week. We were talking after the Bible study. You know how you can read something 1,000 times and then still see something different about it? Now, I like that part about the yoke part and the burden part. I get it. And believe me, I've relied on it a lot, and I know you have too. But there's a three-letter word, and, in that phrase. Take up my yoke and learn from me. The me refers to Jesus. I get the part about putting the burden there. It's the learning part that I don't remember. Learn from Jesus. Jesus, what is it that you want me to know? What is it that I'm missing? What is it that I need to hear? And so that's important. Know the company that you keep. How many of you like critics? We're a body of encouragers. Even if we're speaking truth, we want to speak truth of encouragement. Encouragers. Lifting each other up. It's important that we lift each other up. Critics will always find us. Don't worry about that. And sometimes we are those critics. But may we be encouragers, lifting people up. That's part of that perseverance, that relentless determination. It's necessary. Now, let me ask you a technical question. Now, I'm not real big on technology. I use it, but I'll let you know right up front, I'm not real good with technology. I can deal with it, but, I'm just not a tech geek. But generally, if something's not working, how do you fix it? You might try to take it apart, but unplug it and plug it back in, and what happens? Yeah, generally it will reboot. Generally it will reboot. Now, not always, but generally it will reboot. Well, what's the lesson here? What's the lesson in this? Sometimes you have to unplug your life. Have the courage to do that. Sometimes you do need to stop and unplug. And allow God to reboot you, to strengthen you. Because sometimes we are so frazzled and we're going so hard in one direction that we don't even know what we're doing. And if we keep at it, generally we'll find a brick wall. And what will we do? We'll run right into it just as hard as we can. Unplug. unplug, unplug. So, so important. Always remember, you are not defined by the problems that you may encounter. Your issues, your sufferings, the things that you may face do not define you. You're a child of God. That's what defines you. As Christians, we are not immune from problems, but our problems do not define us because God is bigger than our problems. We just might not feel that way sometimes. But that's that perspective, putting things in perspective. God is bigger than whatever we face. David Jeremiah tells a story of Byron Janis, who was a concert pianist, who started to notice that his hands were getting really stiff. He had arthritis. He had many surgeries on it. He kept going. He kept going. You know what his perspective was? Yes, I have arthritis, but arthritis doesn't have me. See, that's big. That's important. As children of God, we may face a lot of things. We're not immune from what happens in life. But we have God's favor, we have God's blessings, we have God's grace, and we have God's mercy. And that never changes. We have that all the time. Now, the last one that I want to remind you of is this. I'll go with the sports analogy since Super Bowl's today. But I'm going to go to basketball, not football. How many of you remember Jim Valvano? Remember when the Cardiac Pack won the championship, and you see that image of him running across the court to embrace the players? That's not the defining moment that you really remember. What do you remember about Jim Valvano? Never, ever, ever give up. That's the lesson. Never give up. Did Job give up? No. Did Paul give up? No. Did Jesus give up? Definitely not. So we are to persevere. Relentless determination. Never, ever give up. And we have a reason for that. Paul doesn't give up. He goes on and he sees, he's brought before King Agrippa and Bernice. He shares the gospel. King Agrippa asks, "Are you trying to convert me?" He says, "I'm taking the opportunity." They pass on him and send him on to Caesar. He keeps preaching. In Rome, what is he doing while he's waiting to see Caesar? He's preaching. He's proclaiming. Relentless determination. We as individuals, whatever we're facing, don't give up. There's no reason to give up. You have God's favor. You have his grace and you have his mercy. And as a church, I'm going to be very bold. We looked at the fact that we were a dwindling congregation and a potentially dying congregation. But are we dead? No. We're not. By any means. We have all these nice commentaries throughout the service that reminds us that we're very much alive. We're very much alive. And you know, there are a lot of churches that are going from dying churches to redeemed churches. Berea is on the path to redemption. And Phil and I have been talking about that. We may do a series on the redeemed church What does that mean? What does that look like? Now, with that, we come to a very important part of the service. Once a month, we share the Lord's Supper. And we will do so this morning as well. Because as we share this supper, we are reminded of our own redemption. And we're reminded of the strength which has been given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So at this point, I will ask all deacons and anyone else that would like to assist with the Lord's Supper to please come forward. As we're getting ready to move into the Easter season, and we will be doing a Ash Wednesday service here, and we'll give you more about that next week, to kind of let us know that we're beginning that season and that time, which is often known in the church as Lent, as we prepare for the Passion of the Christ. But I want to share with you one of the reasons why we celebrate this Lord's Supper. Many of you know John 3:16. I'm going to ask you to also get to know 1 Timothy 3:14 through 16. It goes like this. Paul's writing to Timothy. I write these things to you, hoping to come to you soon. But if I should be delayed, I have written so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth, and most certainly the mystery of godliness is great. Now, this is the 16th verse. He, Jesus, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And we will continue to celebrate this Lord's Supper until He returns. And so, today, we will share in the bread and the cup in remembrance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When Jesus was sharing that final meal with his disciples, they broke bread. So if you would, please break your bread. Jesus' body was broken for you and for me. Take, eat in remembrance of him. You know, a very popular expression that we have, and it's a very good expression. What would Jesus do when we're facing situations? When I think about the Lord's Supper, I ask the question, what was Jesus thinking? What was Jesus thinking that night? He knew where things were going. He got alone. And he had one-on-one with God, his Father. And he knew that he must persevere with that relentless perseverance. For that cup signifies the blood that was shed for us on the road to the cross and on the cross itself. And so, as we begin, and as you receive the cup, let your mind go back to Jesus. Are you washed in the blood? That soul cleansing blood of the Lamb that was slain for each one of us? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you commit daily to following him? Do we commit daily to following him? Do we know Jesus? Do we as a church, do we as a congregation of believers understand the significance of this cup and the importance of sharing the gospel, of praying for one another, for lifting each other up? May we be mindful of all these things as we partake. It was customary and has been custom in the church after celebrating the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper that we stand together and sing a hymn. And so I'm going to ask if you feel like standing, please stand as we sing together, Blessed Be the Tie. that binds. Today, enjoy today. Enjoy those that you are with. Be mindful of all those that we have asked for prayer and be diligent in prayer. Do take a look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 this week. But as we depart today, I want to share a benediction. This is probably the best known benediction of all dismissals in the Christian church. And it's from the book of Numbers. Of all things. I mean, how many times do we go to the book of Numbers? There you go. I want to share with you the benediction and the blessing. It's really a blessing. That's what benediction is, blessing. It's the blessing that the Lord gave to Moses, and Moses passed it on to Aaron. And it was to bless the Israelites, but it's also to bless us and the church. So, listen carefully. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace, that perfect peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Enjoy.
Jessica. Hey, Bubba.